want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. For those not familiar, The Green Side is a radio show of sorts on the THP Radio Network that's a collaboration between thehackersparadise.com and putterzone.com. It's a show that focuses on everything inside of 100 yards, emphasis on the short game, with more and more about putters than anything else. I want to bring in my co-host for each one of these adventures, and that's Sean from putterzone.com. Sean, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I love this time of year because all these new putters are coming out, and I know you're gearing up for the big PGA merchandise show. I'd love to get out there to Florida. I don't think I am, but seeing all these new putter lines sort of hit the zone there is pretty exciting.
Yeah, you know, it sure is.
We got the Odyssey Dart, the Nike Core, the TaylorMade 79s. They just keep coming out, and it's a really exciting time of year for me.
No question about it. Before we go on, I'm going to give you a plug, but and more so that just us talking. I was reading your site yesterday, and came across an interview that you did with Dave Peltz. And it was really good. And I just want you to touch on that before we get into the show.
Yeah, that was really exciting to speak with Dave Peltz. And it was kind of a wide-ranging chat that we had and just kind of hung back. And I did a lot of listening. It's a long interview, and I think there's a lot of interesting information in there about his theories on putting as well as who he thinks are some of the top putters on tour. So I was really excited to put that on putterzone.com, and I just think it's a cool interview. I think people will like it if they sit down and read the whole thing.
For people who are interested in putting stroke by nature, it's something you should definitely take a read at, because he talks about the things he talks about with straight back, straight through is really intriguing to me.
Absolutely. That was kind of one of my main questions going in, because he's a proponent of the straight back, straight through putting stroke, which is somewhat out of favor with other leading instructors. So it was really interesting to get his take on that. And, you know, he said a few things that freaked me out about the arcing stroke. So I definitely am kind of like, huh.
Yeah, it's definitely.
You know, he says if it's on an arc, you know, there's only one moment in time when it's perfectly square to the line. It's kind of like, yeah, that's food for thought.
Yeah, it's definitely an intriguing read and something that I recommend all our listeners take a look at, because it was enjoyable, and if you have 5-10 minutes, definitely worth your time. This show, as you mentioned, there's so many things coming out, and each one of our shows is going to be filled with more and more gear as we go into detail, a little more than, you know, both Sean and I can put down in print or that pictures say. We can really talk about the nuts and bolts of what we like and dislike, you know, that's coming out each year. But before we get into actually new equipment, we've talked about Tiger Woods on this show before, even though we're not really geared towards covering the tour here, on this episode, on this show anyway. But and we've talked about him switching over to the Method, but 2011's kicking off. What are your thoughts? Is he going to have it in the bag the whole year?
I think he is. I think the tea leaves, we've read them, and it's there. It's, for a while, it was sort of, is he or isn't he? And now I just saw a print ad on the Method, and there he was, right in the middle of it. And his site now officially lists the Method 003 as his putter. So I think it's a permanent switch now.
I tend to agree with you, and I tend to think that there could be more to this story than meets the eye as far as him switching, and I'm doing finger quotes as we're on the radio, switching from Scotty Cameron to Nike. I won't get into that too much because I don't think it's really a place on this show, but I think that he will have the Method in his bag the whole year, but I think there's more to it than meets the eye.
Well, you can't tease me like that.
Well, I think that there's a lot of things going on with the employers of Mr. Scotty Cameron, and there's a lot of other things out there that may be part of the reason. And I shouldn't say part of the reason, because, you know, he flirted with this putter before, but I think it's part of the reason with the marketing behind the whole thing. And I think we'll definitely have a future episode of this show on that. Let's put it that way. In fact, it might be our next one.
Yeah, and we can't discount the fact that the Method has proven itself as a really strong putter. And when arguably the best player in the world, that's up for debate right now, but it wasn't until recently, switches to that putter, it's a good putter.
Yeah, and you're right. It has the tour pedigree. I mean, it has the major success and tournament success. And it's not to say that, and I know that people will immediately think, well, you know, they sponsor athletes, athletes win, that's the way it is. Up until this year, and this, I'm 99.9% sure of this fact, up until this year, Nike did not offer putter contracts or shoe contracts, for that matter, to athletes. They were full sponsored players. So it's not like they were buying a ball count or a driver count or anything like that. That's really just not the case. They have a smaller stable than many companies, and the putter was still successful. And if you look at those wins, especially in the majors, were done a lot of it via great putting. So it does have major success, but another, this year could be the change of that. Is I've heard rumors that Nike will offer, you know, putter deals for people because there's so many athletes that seem to be gravitating towards the Method technology. So that'll be interesting to follow as well.
Yeah, there's a bit of a push-pull thing here, and which is it? But we note that the unitized putters by Nike, which were solid.
Very.
But they didn't get this level of play and success on tour. So when they delivered a putter like the Method, you know, that's really when things started to happen. And so I think, you know, credit to them, kudos to them for putting something out there that qualifies as really one of the top putters out there right now, I think.
Yeah, and you know, let me talk about the chicken before the egg, you know, the whole thing, because people always ask, what's the most used putter on tour? Why do they all use this putter, this and that? And I think part of it has to do with, just like us watching the tour and wanting to emulate those guys, the guys on tour do too. And as the Nike stable has grown and those athletes have achieved some incredible success both here and on the Euro Tour, and they've done so with this putter, and I think it's opened eyes to other players who all of a sudden have said, you know, I really want to give it a try. I mean, we've been to tournaments. We've seen them trying it out in practice rounds and otherwise. And now they have, you know, again, arguably the best player in the world and arguably the best putter in the world with a Method in the bag. And I think it will open even more eyes. So I think it's a smart move if more tour players can switch over, because a lot of tour players don't have putter deals or only have a putter deal with a company, and they can make that move if they want to.
Yeah, there's a snowball effect, definitely. You know, if there's a canary in the coal mine, and that's Tiger Woods with his putter, boy, you know, that's going to make people stand up and notice. Another thing about the switch that I think is really interesting, and I find fascinating, is that he switched to the Method 1 putter at the British Open. Now, that putter, to me, it looked like they designed that squarely aiming to get his attention, because it looked a lot like his existing putter. But what he switched to now is the 3, which is a mid-mallet. And I find that fascinating. He switched not only putters, but putter styles.
How dare a player who plays blades switch to a mid-mallet? Mid-mallet putters. Next thing you know, you're going to be telling me the Method has an insert.
Said the mid-mallet guy, right?
Yeah. You know, you hear all this talk, I'm a traditionalist, I only play this, I would never putt with an insert. Mallets are ridiculous looking. And look, even the ultimate traditionalist in Mr. Woods is card-carrying member of the Blade company is now switching to a putter that you can call it an insert, you can call it different technology, as well as it's a mid-mallet.
And what it also says to me is that he's really looking for some sort of solution to his putting right now. And this it's heel-shafted, it's more toe-down. And when he originally switched to the Method, he said it was because of the slow greens, and he liked the groove technology on the slower greens. But when he switched to the mid-mallet, he started talking about how it helps him release through the ball. And if you have it being more toe down, you're going to have more of that sensation of the rotation through the putt and releasing the putt, which suggests to me that he felt like maybe he was getting a little stuck. You know, I think that part of this switch has to do with him trying to figure something out with his stroke. He must have lost something with the other type of toe down, not quite full like the mid mallet.
I'd like to find whatever it is he lost. At least on the golf course. Let me rephrase that.
Yes, exactly.
Switching gears a little bit. You know, we're still going to talk about a putter line here, but switching gears a little bit to a new release, I should say. You know, our old friends at Seymour have a new release that they just put out called the SI4.
Have we done a show without mentioning them yet?
We have. We've done two. Okay. The SI-4 is, you know, I'll kind of call it kind of like our show. It's a collaboration of sorts. And they're using their SI insert technology that they've gone with a different line of putters, as well as with the RST2 technology and released a plumber's neck style putter with an insert. And to me, it's a natural evolution of the line and something that I think is going to be a welcome addition. I know we've both had a chance to mess around with it a little bit. What are your thoughts?
I've got one in my hands as we speak.
Well, that's
and
just
I
not
like
fair.
It. I like it a lot.
When
you know, what I like about Seymour, what they've done is they really, when they sort of relaunched about 3 years ago under new ownership, I mean, these guys were really on top of it. And they went back to the core fundamentals of the RST, or the rifle scope alignment system, and they built a new line of all milled high-end kick-ass putters that look like the next generation of the classic Seymour putter. And they got that foundation, and now what they're doing is they're evolving their line and going in different directions and incorporating this sort of answer-style putter. But you feel like, okay, they're not – it's not like they came out with this from the outset. They got their base, and now they're releasing putters to reach a wider range of golfers. And I love the way they've handled their whole product line over the past 3 years, and this is just another example to me.
Agreed, 100%. When the DB4 came out, I was curious about it. We'd seen a lot of different evolutions into how they could incorporate RST into a plumber's neck style putter, and I think they did it better than I expected. I saw some other versions that, you know, ended up on the scrap heap that were still solid. And in doing so, nothing changed with the dynamics of how the putter's made and the feel that they and the ingredients, I'll call it, as they make their putters. And when the SI series came out, I thought it was an ingenious idea to, you know, expand, as you put it, to a wider audience of those people who like to play inserts.
And at a price point.
Exactly.
It's more affordable than the DB4, the M series putters.
Exactly. You're getting into a price point that is was much needed for a lot of golfers that didn't want to go to that premium market, and at the same time are used to paying a different price because they play inserts. And now this is another evolution of the DB4 being the plumber's neck style. They didn't have that model with an insert, and I think that this opens the doors to even a larger range of golfers that will get to experience why RST will work for them, in my opinion.
Yeah, and
anyway.
Let's tell the listener, too, about what RST is if they're not familiar with it. And it basically, it's originally it's this red dot on the crown of the putter framed by two white lines, and when you address the ball with your putter visually on a non-offset shaft – you just visually line up the shaft with the red dot, and all you see is the white lines, and that communicates that you're in alignment. And so when they move to this DB4 and now the SI model that we're talking about, they transition that visual effect to the offset plumber's neck hosel. And I think, like you say, they've done a great job of that, because basically – they had to move the dot off the crown of the putter and onto the hosel itself to have the same effect, but it is effective.
Absolutely, and you know, it does the same thing, and it's a, call it whatever somebody wants to call the red dot. It works in that it's not something you have to sit and focus on every single time. It's not something that you're going to be blinded by and staring at. You go about your stroke the same way. However, it's like an insurance policy. When things are good, you can check to make sure it's working. When things are bad, it will fix it for you. And I think I've seen so many believers become better putters because of it that it's hard to not look at that feedback.
Yeah, and another thing about this putter at $180 is when you go on their website to order your putter, you get to choose your length to the half inch. You get to choose your lie angle. You get to choose among numerous head cover options, numerous grip options. I mean, that's a ton of added value right there. If you know what you want, or you have particular aesthetic choices with regard to your grip or head cover, I mean, it's all there right at the point of purchase. And I think they're paving the way for sort of a new generation of of online sales of putters. How they're doing it, I don't know, because I'm sure it takes a ton of manpower to customize each one.
Agreed. And, you know, one of the things is there are a lot of putter companies that offer customization, but how many of them are offering it $180 is a different matter. And I'll go out and say it, take it a step further. Sometimes those figures and stats and technology gets a little you don't quite understand it. You know, if you're not sure what kind of lie angle you need or the length you need, this is a company that you pick up the phone and call. You're not getting some call center or an email back saying, we'll be with you in 24 to 72 hours. Please stand by. You're getting somebody there who can help you with a fitting. They'll help you right over the phone. They might ask you to send in pictures or a video. You can get the customized putter of your dreams even if you don't know what specs you are offhand. It's not the same as going through a full putter fitting, which I recommend to anybody in their area, but you'll also be able to get everything as close as possible through a static fitting, and they're there to help you at any time.
Yeah, and at that price point, again, like you say, that's a match made in heaven right there. And that's why I put this putter recently on my Best Buys roundup for 2010, 2011 is to me, there's just tremendous value in that.
Well, that's always a nice feature to have and a nice little gold star for the company being on your list.
I have to say something, too, that's been bugging me.
Okay.
And
it's time to vent.
There you go. And as we're talking about this putter, you know, I hear myself raving about it. And there's been a few comments on the site recently, like, you know, you like all the putters. When I review the putters, you know, you're raving about all the putters. And, you know, I'm looking around right now. We've got this Bettinardi that we're going to talk about soon. I'm looking at the Never Compromise Gambler. I'm looking at the Seymour. Looking at the Seymour MFGP. It's like, you want me to say something bad about these putters. Why? They rock. And I'm not going to just go out of my way just because it's journalistically this or that to just be critical. There's some just awesome putters being made by these companies, and I love them. And tough, you know what?
Yeah, no, I agree, and you know, we hear it as well. I think that what it's come down to is in today's competitive age of the OEMs putting out products, a bad product will never make it.
Exactly.
And even to be fair, a lot of good products won't make it. And, you know, we could say rest in peace to Nakent, Sonar Tech, maybe even Yes Putters. But
Slotline.
Yeah, Slotline's another one. A bad company just won't make it. So I don't think when we get to review equipment, it's always about a good versus bad. It's about some that are even higher and over the top than that, and others that maybe sometimes don't live up quite to the level we're used to, or, you know, we try to, at least in my case, and I think you do a good job as well, you try to point out positives and negatives with each piece, assuming there are positives and negatives, and lay it out for the consumers to have a better idea of the product going in. When we review a product, whether it's a putter or anything else, I want to lay out as much information as possible, and then let the reader decide if he
Absolutely.
Thinks it's positive or negative.
Yeah, it's not my place to say this putter sucks just because maybe it doesn't fit my personal eye. That doesn't mean the putter sucks. And I'll note nitpicks is increasingly what I'm my negatives are confined to, because like you say, overall what these companies are putting out there, you can't get away with putting in a crappy product out there. So I'm not just going to go out there and say something's crappy just for the supposed sake of balance. It's a lot of good stuff coming out, and I'd rather celebrate that than come up with some phony critique.
I would agree, and like I said, we try to lay out as much information as possible and then let the readers decide whether or not they feel it's beneficial to them to, you know, look further into the product or look past it. Now, speaking of a product that
You know what? I feel better now. That was very therapeutic.
I'm glad I'm here. I have a couch in my office. Maybe you should be sitting there. A product that I don't think I can be critical of right now because I'm in love with it is the new 2011 Bettinardi line.
Yes.
We've talked briefly about it, and we've talked heavily about Bettinardi putters in the past. This 2011 line to me is a major step forward for them in the aesthetics department, and don't get me wrong, there was nothing wrong with the aesthetics of a Bettinardi putter in the past. I've always found them to be one of the better looking putters on the market from complete line standpoint. You, I believe, are holding one or one next to you and probably will stay there for a long period of time. That's quite striking.
Yes, it just arrived yesterday and we're in full honeymoon period. I rushed out last night and took it to the practice green.
That's a little disturbing at the same time. Which model do you have?
I have the Studio Stock number 8 model, and the Studio Stock is one of three lines that they're rolling out or extending for 2011. You have the BB series, the Studio Stock, and the Signature. And the Studio Stock's the middle one in terms of price point.
Do you have those price points handy for people?
I do. I have them right here. So the BB series is $275. The Studio Stock is $375. And the Signature, which I believe you have, is $495. Do
We
you have a
do.
Signature?
We have a couple of signatures here. We're going to be using them for an upcoming test we're doing at the THP outing and demo day. People will get to try all three lines, like I've been doing. There's something in this line that they did so right that I want to almost stand up and applaud, and that is the finish of this series that you're holding in your hand.
Oh yeah, and just for all you out there, if you see a photo, it's no.
That's exactly
You
right.
can't, it just, photos don't do this finish justice. There's no way to photograph it, really.
I'll applaud Golfer Gal on THP for the photos she took in our studio of the line, and they still only do it a fraction of the justice.
I took it out in the sunlight last night, or yesterday
It's
evening.
Got like 10 different
Whoa.
Colors going on there.
Yeah. They call it, what is the name of that? I thought it was a really cool name for that finish. Borealis Black.
Exactly. I was about to say it, and you got to steal my thunder again. No, I'm kidding. What I found that I like most outside of the appearance is that when you take a look at this putter line as a whole, they really do have something for everybody. But more importantly than having something for everybody, it doesn't go away from the Bettinardi feel and look and classic tradition that he has and has always had.
Yeah, it really feels like that evolution. And like you say, from an aesthetic standpoint, they're a little racier. They're a little more dazzling, I would say. And that's what you want to see. You want to see something that's rooted in familiar ground, but also has a new vibe to it. And I think they hit the mark with these.
They did. And there's quite a few different styles. You can check out their website for those.
Let's describe this. Try to describe this finish. It's
it's
got that
dark.
bit of oil can patina kind of thing
Yeah, I
going
would
on.
say it's a little darker than that in general. It would be like that mixed with black, in my opinion. And then when light hits it, you have pink, purple, orange, gold, blue, and green all coming through.
Yeah, and you don't need to oil this up. It's a durable, complete finish.
That's one of the things that was most surprising and intriguing to me was that it is durable. It does not need the care that some other putters that look like this need. And there's nothing wrong with a non-durable finish if that's what somebody likes, but I prefer not having to oil them personally. But again, you take a look at the finish and it draws you in, and his classic styles draw you in. But when you roll them, the feel is incredible.
Yeah, the feel off the face is really nice on this putter. And to me, it's somewhat reminiscent of the Gambler that we talked about on the last show, in that it's kind of that balance of soft but not super soft. And I
Yeah.
like that because it's responsive.
When it gets a little too soft, it almost feels almost artificial to me. And when people hear the term clicky, they immediately think negative, like, oh no, that sounds hard or fake or plasticky. That's not what I'm saying. I love the balance of soft and firm in this putter. I think the feedback you get because of that is incredible, both in your hands as you make your stroke, as well as audibly. It gives off a tone that's deep but not muted, is the best way to describe it. And
And it's fine-tuned as well. It'll tell you if you're off by a hair.
yes, it will, and I usually am.
I am too. I'm always trying to groove it. I'm like, oh, that feel. Oh, there it is. And then up.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that when people see these putters, the first thing they say is, oh my God.
Yeah.
And then they don't realize it's a regular line. This is not a custom piece.
Sure.
And they can have this finish. And again, I recommend going to the Bettinardi website and checking them out. The pictures, and you can check out the pictures on PutterZone as well as the THP forum. We have hundreds of pictures of the 2011 Bettinardi line in its entirety.
I think I'll borrow your photos rather than actually try to take them myself.
You may want
to. I think
to.
I've already given up.
She did a pretty good job with them, Golfer Gal did, and she's got pictures of the 50 caliber limited release as well. Do yourself a favor and check out the pictures because they really are that good.
I have to mention something about this putter, too, that just really jumped out at me in the description. They said that it's milled from our proprietary fusion of the softest carbon steel with special ingredients to ensure a unique quality and feel upon impact. Special ingredients.
I don't know what special ingredients are, but I want more.
Yeah. He's like a chef.
I know. Well, we kind of knew that originally. You know,
Chef Bob.
And I've always said that, you know, a lot of times it's not as much the process as it is the ingredients in a piece of equipment. And I think this may confirm it. I'm curious to know what the special ingredients are.
I'm very curious now.
I don't think we'll ever
have to
really
make that
know.
a personal quest of ours to.
We might have to find
get
that
the recipe.
Out. I want the recipe. And I feel like we should send a letter with all the little letters cut out like it's a ransom note. But I don't think we'd be on the air next month.
Yes, I have your number 8, and I won't give it back until...
Exactly. Well, that is all the time we have for the show this month. I want to thank Sean from PutterZone.com, as usual, for being my co-host in this. And next month, we have more incredible things to talk to you about, including a topic that's kind of close to my heart, and that is finishes on putters and what makes things jump out and how things are done. So I think that's something you definitely are going to want to tune into. For myself... And Sean from PutterZone.com, we hope you enjoyed our latest endeavor here. And don't fear the greens, conquer them. Goodbye, everybody.
See ya.